They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah.
You are my Powerful song that's come from this house once again. I really want them to do a recording of all these amazing songs. The world needs to hear these songs that have been birthed in the saints in this house. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we are thankful for your presence. We are thankful for all that you are doing in us and with us. Thank you, Lord, O God, that there is yet much more that you want to unveil of yourself through your sons and your daughters in this last of the last days. And Lord, O God, we come. We step, O God, into this realm of the supernatural movements of your goodness that will propel us, O God, into dimensions yet unknown to mankind. Because, Lord, you are revealing to us who you are. Day by day, we have been changed to the image that you foreordained to reveal to us as your people. Thank you. for the privilege of being part of your family, the family of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We've been talking about the presence of God. The presence of God. It's a subject that is filled with a lot of paradox. The paradox is something that holds true, but at the same time, it's different. The paradox is that in God there's neither male nor female. But we also know that there's male and female. That's a paradox. Both statements are true. There's neither male nor female, no difference. But at the same time, it's also true that there is a male and a female. Paradox is all over the scriptures. And he created them and he called them Adam. Both of them were called Adam. They were created the same day. But when you investigate, you find out that God created the man, he molded the man, breathed into the man becomes a living soul, and then he says it's not good for that man to be alone. He did some kind of surgery on the man when he put the man to sleep, takes out a bone, a rib, makes a woman somewhere else, and brings the woman to the man. And the man says, wow, whoa, man. Eve. Both statements are true. Adam is Eve, because Eve came out of him. Paradox. Trying to understand the concepts of God and the presence of God. For the natural mind, it's confusing to say and pray, may God be with you. What does that mean? What does that mean, actually? May God be with you, when the Word of God says God will never leave you nor forsake you. If he never left me and neither forsook me, what's the point praying God be with you? But does the Word of God say that God was with somebody? Yeah, God was with Joseph. Does that mean that when God was with Joseph, God was not with Isaac? What does it mean when I say God is everywhere present and then I still talk about God in me? Can he be out there and be in here? Well, because God covers all the bases. And if you want to relate with God with your natural mind, you will not be able to comprehend what God is all about. So this morning we talked about the omnipresence of God. And then we talked about the indwelling presence of God. In a sense, we covered those two aspects. And I shared with you this morning that the Lord said to speak to me about a word that is not related theologically to anything that I know of. He said, the accrual presence. Accrual presence. So what's accrual? The only thing I know about accrual is that it has to do with accounting, this system of accounting. And I shared with you that it was such a new concept to me, understanding somewhat what the accounting meaning is, and I'm thinking, what is God trying to get at? Why is he talking to me about a word accrual? Could you put it up on my screen down here, please? Because I like to read it. It says the accumulation or increase of something over time, especially payments or benefits. It's one meaning. That's an interesting meaning of that word, accrual. Then it says all debts must be frozen with no further accrual of interest. Protein synthesis results in the accrual of muscle tissue. The numbers show a need to limit time of accruals. Now, all of this doesn't make too much sense to you right now, but it's blowing stuff in my mind right now, because it is bringing me to an understanding of what God is talking about. Watch this next one. A charge for work that has been done, but not a charge for work that has been done but not yet invoiced. That's interesting. It is work that has been done but not yet invoiced. In other words, to invoice something, you have to pay for it. The recipient pays for it. It says work that has been done but not yet invoiced, for which provision is made at the end of a financial period. Now that is mind-boggling when I associate it with the presence of God. That God will use that word to relate to his presence tells me something. It tells me, you know, the word of God says that as we behold him, we've been changed from what? Glory to glory. Yes? The word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, eyes have not seen, neither has it entered into the hearts of men, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. What is this accrual presence that God was talking to me about? What date is today? The 11th. That means the morning, early morning hours of December the 11th, 2022. What was he talking about? He was talking about the fact that we have not yet seen the manifestations of his glory like we are about to see. Are you hearing? That's why that word accrual is such an important word. It's a word that's saying, you've not seen anything yet. Because there's dimensions of me that is yet to be revealed, that nobody has seen before. Not Moses, not Abraham, nobody has seen it yet. But I'm about to reveal myself in ways that is going to blow everything that is. Oh my God. Finished, but not yet invoiced. In other words, the recipient of the bill has not seen what his payments are supposed to be. Has not seen what it cost. Has not seen any of that. And God is saying, I'm about to reveal myself to you in this last of the last days. He says, oh my God, my God, my God. All creation is waiting. Is that what Romans 8 says? All creation is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. There is a dimension of the presence of God. God in you, God in me, the hope of glory. It begins to have another aspect. Oh, the hope of glory. It's not a hope to get to heaven. That's not it. The hope of glory is the hope of the manifestation of who He is. Working through man. I truly believe the devil will be begging for us to get out of here. Yeah. The church is not going to be weak. Hallelujah. The devil will be begging, please take them out. Please. Any which way, take them out. They are killing me. Because the glory of God is about to be manifested through people. Yeah. Yeah. All the things God has been speaking to me about through the years, I look forward to see the manifestation of it. Praise God. Which provision is made at the end of a financial period, at the end of the story, there is going to be a manifestation. The God that we serve is an accounting God. So when it says, in the beginning was the Word is the word Logos. The word Logos is an accounting word. But that word Logos is related to the word that we call logistics. Can you see it? Logos, logistics. Transportation companies use that same word, logistics. So, a company that moves things from place to place, we call themselves a logistical company. Logistics is also related to mind, thinking, reasoning. So we talk about logical, reasonable. Now, the Bible tells us that we need to be transformed, Romans 12. We need to be transformed, metamorphosed, changed, by the renewing of our minds. He says, don't be conformed to this world. Stop thinking like the world. Stop reasoning like the world. But be transformed, metamorphosed, be changed by the renewing of your mind, your thinking. Why? That ye may prove that which is God's good, acceptable, perfect will of God. This is the gap theory. Good, G, acceptable, A, perfect. It is incremental. God starts you at good, and then he says acceptable. Good. Acceptable. I would think it would be acceptable, and then good, and then perfect. Do you see the reasoning? But it starts out and says, oh, that's good. And then he says, acceptable. I think acceptable is less than good. But God says, no. I say acceptable because you grew. You grew, but you're not there yet. I started you at the good. Now, okay, you're doing better. In other words, God demands growth. Amen? He demands growth. From what? Me being renewed in the spirit of my mind, in my thinking. The problem of the church is we are still stuck at Acts chapter 2. We're still stuck till we spoke in tongues. That's why we're still stuck. We're still stuck at goosebumps. We've not stepped to Philip, who's having a mighty move of God, and he listens to God's voice, and he sends for the leaders of the church, Peter and the rest of them, to come. And as they came and they said to watch over the mighty move that is happening because of a deacon who was busy serving tables, is now moving in the mighty power of God. And when Peter and God says to him, move on. And he obeys the voice of God, and he sees an Ethiopian eunuch. He says, go by the side of that Ethiopian eunuch. I'm about to do something greater than the mass crusade you just had. I'm about to take over a continent. Go by him. And he says to the man, what are you reading there? Do you understand what you're reading? So how can I understand what I'm reading? Except that somebody reveals this truth to me. And Philip hanged around one person. Somebody say one person. He left thousands of people to go minister to one person. How does that make any sense? How does that make any sense in the natural? He goes to minister to one person, but God did not see one person. He saw a continent. He saw a man that was going to impact a palace, a queen, and her people. He saw the family of the Queen of Sheba. And he finishes ministering to him. The man says, there's water here. Is there any reason why I shouldn't be baptized? And Philip says, no. Baptizes him. The man is getting ready to get into his chariot, getting dressed, and Philip takes a step and he shows up in another city. One step, another city. But me, I want a private jet. I want to buy a ticket at Air Canada, Lufthansa, fly for hours, want to buy a ticket so I can relax in business class. And God says, what are we doing here? Can we move this thing along? The time is short. Let's go to Kinshasa. Huh? Boom. Kinshasa, here we are. Let's go to Timbuktu. Timbuktu, here we are. Marrakesh, here we are. Moscow, here we are. What about that? Does God want to do while my mind is still stuck to how much dollars I need? Do I have enough space in my credit card to buy it? Meanwhile, God is already in Marrakesh. God is already in Kinshasa. And what God wants to do is to connect me with him so that wherever he is, I am there. Oh. No, Pastor, come. Let's get real. That's our problem. We are still conformed to this world and the systems of this world. And have not been transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can prove that which is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. Verse 3 says, watch this. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. And my first impression, and most impressions of most people, is, oh, well, you need to, God is saying, be humble. And that's what he is saying. Be humble. What does that mean? Humility. Humility is coming into agreement with God. To think more highly is to consider your natural thinking more than you consider the thoughts of God, so that you are resisting the will of God, the plans of God, because you're thinking natural. Meanwhile, God has given to us the measure of faith, the measure, not a measure, the measure, the necessary measure. But what faith is that? The faith of Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It is Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's incredible. The presence of God. God bringing me into a realm that defies natural laws, because God is not limited to natural laws. The Lord showed us a little bit, showed us just a little bit. When he takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feeds the multitude and gets more at the end than he started with. 5,000 hungry men, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. The lunch of a little kid, and he feeds 5,000 hungry men, not counting the women, not counting the children, and he says, gather the fragments, and he got 12 baskets. Not small containers, baskets. His disciples are at sea, battling in the natural. And here comes Jesus, walking on water. How does that compute? That's him cracking what glory living is like. It's just a crack. I believe Paul understood some of this stuff. So when he talks about the revelations of God, things that he cannot even share, it's too much. I don't know whether I was in the body or out of the body. I don't know. But God showed me some stuff that I can't even talk about. We are going to live out those things that he could not talk about real time. Real time. But what needs to change is my thinking, my natural mind. God, help me to not be carnal-minded. I don't want to be a meathead. And that's what it means, carnal. Meat. Archie Bunker used to call his son-in-law meathead. He was thinking in the natural. But God is saying, I want you to come up higher. I want you to understand what my presence is about. It's a manifestation of my glory. The God who's everywhere present, who is not limited to natural laws, to natural rules. I am about to sweep through the earth. And you will not be able to explain it to anybody. Can't explain it. What are you going to explain? Something's got to change, son, in how you think. Because I'm giving to every man the measure of faith, so you can prove that which is my good, acceptable, and perfect will. I want to do a new thing in your life, something that is beyond natural description. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, I had not seen, nor ears, nor ear heard. Faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. This dimension is a dimension of faith that's birthed out of a sacrificial lifestyle. Neither have entered into the heart of man, for out of the abundance of the heart a man will speak. It's not even entered into your heart. The things which God had prepared for them that love him. Things God has prepared for them that love him. He says he causes all things, Romans 8, all things to work together for good for them that love God and have been called according to his purpose. And we know that. All things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called, according to his purpose. Lord, make me one of the called. Amen? Make me one of the called. And he called them, Mark 3, in verse 15. He called them. He says, go up into a mountain. Watch this. Because in Mark 9, he's going to tell us how Jesus also went up a mountain. But let me just go through this for a moment. He goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he willed. And it came unto him. May we be those who obey the instruction and go up that mountain. Because this is another dimension. It's a level of mountain living. Mountaintop experience. He goes up and he ordained 12 that they should be with him. That they should be with him. That they should be with him. That means that they should be in his presence. And that he might send them forth to preach. And to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. And Simon, he surnamed Peter. First group, he changes their names. Come up here. In Mark 9, the Bible says, after six days. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John. Those are the ones whose names he changed. Not everyone. The ones whose names he changed. He takes them up and leads them up into an high mountain apart. Somebody say apart. By themselves. Separated. And he was transfigured. Oh, Kadimasha. before them. He was transfigured. He was transformed. Are you with me? Something happened. A transfiguration, a transformation, a shift. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. No fuller, no bleach, no systems can make it that white. It was beyond. So this was something from above. He's changed before them. And in that transfigured setting, there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Elias. This is a prophet that is caught up by the whirlwind. Moses, who did something messed up, was denied entrance into the promised land, is now in the promised land. Nobody knows where he was buried. God was in full control of his situation. And they're talking with Jesus. And the Bible tells us that Peter is so overwhelmed about what's going on. He's not been talked to. Jesus, Moses, and Elias are talking together. And the Bible says, and Peter answered and said to Jesus, jumped into the conversation. No respect. And he says, Master, it is good for us to be here. No, Jesus doesn't want to be there. In the natural, he was just revealing something. We get so satiated and satisfied with little drops, and God is saying, I've got more for you. Stop this. Oh, have you spoken in tongues? That's baby talk. Glossolalia, that's gibberish. I want to take you past gibberish talking to doing something powerful. Let's go. God, how am I going to get there? That's not for you to worry about. I'm about to reveal to you what it really means when you say, I am born again. I'm about to reveal to you what it means when I say, the lost glory is reinstated. You sinned, you fell short of the glory of God, but now that you saved, the glory of God is reinstated. And you're going to move from glory to glory. All you need to do is look. James tells us, look. And stop forgetting what you look like after you stared at the mirror. Remember who you are, what you're about, how you are connected to me. Let my name not be dragged in the mud because you're not living up to what I've called you to be. He says, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And God says, No. Jesus is not in the same class with Moses and Elijah. He's in a class all by himself. The Bible says, for he wist not what to say, for they were so afraid. He's scared off his wits and he's just blabbing off. Say, and there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud. When the Bible talks about the cloud, it's talking about his glory, the glory of his presence. Voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. Hear him. Hear him. It's not about Elias. It's not about Moses. This is about Jesus all the way. Listen to what he has to say. And what the Lord is saying to us this day is that he wants to change us. I was here early this morning and I heard the voice of the Lord. He said to me, he said, you're stepping into a new season of restructuring. I said, restructuring? I said, yeah, restructuring. I said, but you said it is a year of restoration. He said, yes, it's still the year of restoration, sir. He says, but I'm going to restructure. There is going to be restructuring. It's coming. God is moving things. And you and I are going to move in a realm that cannot be explained. Hallelujah. That's where God is going. That's where I'm going. God, if I'm dragging, drag me. Hallelujah. Any which way. Any which way. Drag me. Praise God. If I'm tired, carry me. But wherever you are, that's where I want to be. Praise God. Not by my might, nor by my power, but by the Spirit of the living God. I have heard it. It is producing faith inside of me, and I'm getting filled with it because only I didn't ask him to come and tell me about a cruel presence. He said it. So whatever he says, I'm game. I don't know about you, but we are not going to fool around. So let me go back to Romans 8, verse 1, and I'll go to 12 and verse 1, and we'll wrap it up. And I didn't even get to the passages of scriptures that I had in my notes. There is therefore now. Somebody say, there is therefore now. Say it again, there is therefore now. One more time, there is therefore now. No condemnation to them which are where? In Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you're going to walk after the Spirit, you're going to walk free from the condemnation and the accusation of the enemy. Amen? And part of that condemnation is you're not good enough. To be inhabited by God. But the walk of the Spirit says, God has given me the gift of his righteousness. God has separated me unto himself. Just like he separated Peter, James, and John. He says, come. We say, Lord, bid me come. Give me the strength to climb up this mountain. Hallelujah. Romans 12. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. By the mercies of God. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What does that mean? Think. Remind yourself that when you read in the Word of God, there are levels. There's level 1, level 2, level 3, level 4. What is when God says, present yourselves a living sacrifice? Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, logical, the least you can do. Present yourself a living sacrifice. Presenting yourself as a living sacrifice is a call to obedience. Obedience. God says, do this. You go and you do that. I want you to do this. You go and you do what he said. You cannot flow in this dimension of God. Let me put it this way. Where do you think most people ultimately will be disobedient at when God asks them to do something? I give you 2 or 3 chances. Just yell it at me. Okay. What area do you think that people generally will be disobedient to God concerning? What? Giving. Let me tell you what. If God cannot get hold of you living your life as a living sacrifice, when it comes to giving, you are not going to flow into this realm. Because God, restructuring. I get it. If you're a minister of the gospel listening to me right now, or you intend to be part of God's team, get this, hear it, understand it, receive it, operate by it. You cannot make the people of God that are his building stones, living stones, you cannot turn them to bread. In other words, you cannot have lines of people bring special offerings so that you can pray for them. Where are the people that are giving $20,000? Let them come first. And you classify people. You're about to be removed. If you don't change that, you will not flow into this next dimension. Because in one level, we've been operating in the level of the anointing. But God is moving and restructuring things to move His elect to the realm of the glory that starts from the pulpit. Because freely God has given to you, freely you must give. On the flip side, those in the congregation who withhold and do not obey God concerning their giving are about to be sidelined because God cannot trust you. You know what the Lord said? He said, if you don't take care of that which is another's, who will give you what belongs to you? If God cannot trust you with the unrighteous mammon, how will He trust you with greater gifts? Operates on both sides. You and I need to be people of integrity when it comes to the thing that God says answereth all things. Money. The first time, do you know, the first time the word glory is used in the scriptures? What chapter is that? Numbers? No, not Numbers. Genesis? Genesis what? Anyway, the first time the word glory is used, let me find it. It had to do with money. 31, 2, 31, 1. Thank you. Genesis 31, 1. Jacob hears these words. And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob had taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's had he gotten all this, what? Glory. That had to do with wealth. So when we're talking about the glory of God manifested, we're talking about the realities of God. God's word says, wisdom is a defense, glory is a defense, money is a defense. God has to trust you and I financially. Yeah. And in fact, I can boldly say that if you can hear God concerning finances, you will hear God concerning every other thing. If you cannot hear God speak to you about financial things and ask you, this is what I want from you, you'll be hard-pressed to hear God in any other area of your life. So the best thing that any one of us can do is to learn to trust God. Because the fear of obedience to giving is related to, one, pride, and God hates pride. It's related to fear. If I do this, what am I going to do? But God has not given you the spirit of fear. He's given you the spirit of His love. of his power and his sound, mature, disciplined mind. When God speaks to you about giving, he's opening you up to greater things yet to be revealed. Pride, fear, and lack of love. If you love, you will give. The Bible says God so loved that he did what? Gave. You can never give if there's no love present. You're not going to give to anybody without you loving. And I tell you what, the one that you love and you give to, you will pray for. Don't tell me that you're praying for me if you're not giving into my life. And your giving is it's not just finances, it's a mindset. God, you have blessed me. Let me give it to you. So when God gives me a word, teaches me something, I don't keep it and hide it for myself. I share it. Oh, somebody's going to take what I said and is going to write a book with it. So what? So what? As long as you write it correctly and get the revelation from it, what do I care? All God wants me to do is love people and share his love with his people. Amen? Well, we'll stop there for now. We're still exploring this subject. May the Lord help us all live the God life. Heavenly Father, we are thankful once again for the privilege accorded us, O God, to hear you, to trust you, to take us to that dimension of supernatural living that is natural to you. We've heard, O God, that there are dimensions of your glory that you want to reveal in this last of the last days. We position ourselves following you that we may be accounted as ones to be called to this higher living. We look at your mercy seat and say, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. And use our lives to manifest your glory. Thank you, Father, for the sufficiency of grace, your loving kindness, your tender mercies, your presence, O God. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. Seize this opportunity to keep on hearing the Lord, obeying his instruction, and following his dictates. The Lord will take us step by step by step as we open ourselves up to be led by his Spirit. He will unveil more of himself. We're reminded that he starts us with the good, and then he will take us to the acceptable, and then he will take us to his perfect will. Let's just keep on growing and not receive the condemnation of the enemy that says, not good enough. No, if God says good, He will take me to acceptable. And He will take me to perfect. We will trust the Lord all of our days. Amen? Love you all. Look forward to ministering to you again Wednesday evening. And then, of course, Friday, prayer meeting, and Sunday morning, Sunday evening next. And be reminded that we have a Christmas Eve, Christmas Eve service, 10 a.m. Saturday, the 24th. Our regular service is on Sunday, Christmas Day. We'll have a service, and there will also be ministry from our young folks. We're going to minister whatever it is they're going to be ministering to us after the service. I'll try to be shorter, briefer in the message time so that we don't stay too long. Sunday evening, there is no service. That's Christmas Day evening, no service. That's replaced by the Christmas Eve service. So be in attendance on both. And then don't. Please don't miss the New Year's Eve service. That's all I'm going to say. Don't miss it. And say, I'm going to stay home and watch it online. Don't do that. If you can be here, be here. Maybe somebody will fly all the way from Toronto and come down here to be in the service. If you're in Timbuktu, say, well, I'm going to be there. I don't know what God is going to do. It's just obey the instruction. It might be a service that wows you and say, wow, that was so amazing. It might be, it was just like any other service. It doesn't matter. Just be here. Amen? All right. God bless you. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord. And good night. Anybody on Zoom?